Good morning. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken out of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying on the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had not gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When he had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come out and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement has seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boat to land, they left everything and followed him.
Thanks, Dave. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God that has encounters with us every day. And we would ask, Lord, as we study Simon Peter's experience with you on the job, that we can understand what it means to be a little better, to encounter you in our everyday lives, and the true blessing that experience is. Amen. 9-year-old Ronan Matten caused quite a stir in the city of Boston in May of last year during the Handel and Haydn Society's performance of Mozart's Masonic Funeral Music. There was a moment of silence in the music piece, and young Ronan couldn't contain himself because he was blown away by the performance of the orchestra, and right out loud in the orchestra hall, it is dead silence. We heard a wow! And his expression of amazement sparked applause. It actually ended up on YouTube. The crowd of concertgoers burst into laughter and then applause when this 9-year-old yelled when he wasn't supposed to. Orchestra CEO David Sneed called it one of the most wonderful moments I've ever experienced in a concert hall. Now, because of his enthusiasm, the 9-year-old boy was invited back by the Boston Orchestra as a special guest. And Ronan's grandparents were initially reluctant when they heard that orchestra personnel wanted to reach out to their grandson. They thought he might be in some kind of trouble. But those fears were allayed when he and his grandparents were invited back to Boston's Orchestra Hall for a special dress rehearsal performance of a Mozart celebration. Artistic director Harry Christophers said that Matten's exuberance put his job in perspective. And that's a picture of Matten and Christophers, and I think the French horn player there on the screen. These sort of moments just make us realize exactly what we're here doing. We're here to give people a release from their daily existence. With Ronan, it's just spontaneous. It's an innocence. It's just lovely. End quote. Ronan Matten, and I think really everyone at that symphony performance, they attended that event to get away from things. They attended that event to have a release from their daily existence. Now, we do the same thing when we watch television, we read a good book, we have hobbies, we do the things that we do to relax because we want a break from it all. We want some release from the daily grind. We want to break from the routine every now and then, but do you believe that Jesus shows up in our lives to release us from our daily existence? Do you believe that Jesus shows up in our daily existence to give us what the Boston Orchestra gave to Ronan Matten. Jesus shows up to kind of give us a wow moment as we're doing our thing every day. And I believe that Jesus does this to all of us at different points of our day, every day. I believe that Jesus is with us at work, at home. He's with us when we're traveling to and from work. Jesus shows up in our everyday lives, and he shows up because he wants to bring change to our everyday life. Jesus wants to open our eyes, if only briefly, to his presence in our lives and to the love and to the purpose that he has for us. And so for today's sermon, this Wedding Sunday and Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to go back to the book of Luke. The last time that we studied Luke, we finished up Luke chapter 4. We examined a day in the life of Jesus. We saw that in a typical day of Jesus doing ministry, people get healed, evil is driven away. Jesus loves and serves people. He's always obedient to the Father as he conducts himself each day in his ministry. Now today we're going to study some people who are impacted by Jesus in their everyday lives. Jesus runs into some fishermen that he knows, fishermen that are just, they're doing their job like they do every day. And basically Jesus kind of shows up at the workplace on a normal work day and he interacts with the fishermen and they have an experience that impacts their faith. And I preach this because I believe that Jesus shows up during our normal days and that he has encounters with us as well. But how do those encounters happen? What do those encounters look like? What are those everyday Jesus encounters? What do they do exactly for our faith? We're going to look at the first 11 verses of Luke 5 and see how we encounter Jesus in our everyday life and what those encounters mean for us. Now, the first thing that we need to know about encountering Jesus in our everyday life, number one, is that Jesus is never too busy to meet with just you. Jesus is never too busy to meet with just you. The first three verses of Luke 5. Now, it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Now, if you remember, when we finished Luke chapter 4, Luke 4 ends with Jesus teaching about God. Jesus is teaching about the Messiah, and he keeps preaching and teaching all around this area of Judea. And Luke 5 begins where Luke 4 leaves off, with Jesus teaching and preaching. He's doing what he always does. But Luke 5 begins with a scene shift, because Jesus has moved on, and he's now down by a lake. Now, one of the main reasons that Jesus was sent to us was to teach people about God and teach them about the way of salvation. And as we've seen, as we've worked our way through the book of Luke, Jesus is doing that teaching pretty effectively. Jesus has lots of big crowds that show up for his teaching. And Luke 5 begins with another big crowd that have come to hear Jesus speak. And then in Luke 5, Jesus sees something on the lake that catches his attention. And what catches his attention are two boats by the water's edge. Two boats that are obviously used for fishing. Historians believe that there were two boats because fishermen, many times they would work together to catch more fish. And Jesus saw these fishermen washing their nets that they used to catch the fish. They're cleaning them, probably mending any tears or holes, and they're preparing to actually go back out and maybe do a little more fishing. And so Jesus sees the boats and he gets an idea. And he asks one of the fishermen, he asks a guy named Simon, and this is the guy whose mother-in-law he healed at the end of Luke chapter 4, it's Simon Peter. Jesus asks Simon Peter to take him out on the boat a little ways from the shore. And Simon does what Jesus asks, and Jesus kind of sits down in the front of the boat and continues to preach and teach from the boat. Now, in the boat, Jesus can continue teaching this large crowd of people a lot more effectively. Since the crowd, everybody can kind of see Jesus now, and I'm sure that his voice projects a little better since he's facing the whole audience. The shore functioned better acoustically. It's kind of like this nice amphitheater. And it's a nice story, but I believe there was another reason why Jesus wanted to speak from the boat. I think Jesus asked Simon Peter to use his boat because Jesus wants to talk to Simon. Jesus wants to engage specifically with Simon. And this leads us to the first point that we want to make about encountering Jesus in our everyday lives. Jesus is not only interested in crowds, but he's also interested in you individually. Jesus is never too busy to meet with just you. Now, Jesus could relate to the crowds as like a classroom teacher, but he also wanted to relate to a person named Simon, almost like an individual tutor, if you will. I can remember when my sons attended Lakota that there were teachers that were willing to meet with kids after school in order to help them in with particular questions or particular difficulties that they might be having with math or English or whatever the subject was. And I always felt those teachers were kind of copying what Jesus is doing here. They're not just interested in the large class of students, but they're also interested in the individual. And I say this because that's how Jesus wants to relate to us. Jesus is not only interested in us as a congregation gathered to worship him on a Sunday, but Jesus is also personally interested in meeting with each one of us one-on-one. But the question is, how does Jesus meet up with us one-on-one? How does Jesus make a one-on-one encounter with him happen? Well, one of his favorite ways is just in speaking to us. God loves to speak to us through other people. And God will use friends. He'll use family. He will use the pastor. He will use the Bible. He will use songs. He'll use nature. There's a myriad of ways that God lets us hear his voice. I think God loves to show up in texts and in phone calls. Just the general interaction that we have with other people. And see, in all these different ways, we hear words and we have encounters with people that stimulate our spirits. We hear words and we have encounters with people that stimulate our spirits, and we are reminded in those encounters that God is real. We're reminded that God wants to engage with us at some level. And however God may reach you, know that God wants to reach you personally, just like he did with Simon. Now you might wonder, why does Jesus approach just one person? Why would Jesus change his focus from the group to a single person? This brings us to our second point, number two. Jesus' encounters happen to grow our faith. Jesus' encounters happen to grow our faith. Verses 4 through 8. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners on the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Now, when Jesus focuses on us individually, it's going to happen because Jesus wants to grow our faith. And that's what's going to happen to Simon. Simon has been washing the nets while kind of keeping one ear listening to Jesus. You got to remember, Jesus is teaching in the front of the boat, but Jesus is teaching at Simon's place of work. And it's a work day. And Simon has got work day responsibilities. Simon is a small business owner, and he has to fish to make a living. Simon has got a family that relies on him to bring in a good catch to eat and to sell. Simon is working hard at his job, just like all of us do. He's trying to make a living for you, trying to make a living for your family. And I bring this up because Simon can't just stop what he's doing and spend the whole day with Jesus. And I'm guessing based on what happened at the end of Luke chapter 4 with his mother-in-law being healed, Simon might have wanted to stop what he's doing to be with Jesus and to hear some more teaching. But you know what? Duties call. Responsibilities call. And these details are important because it reminds us that Jesus knows our lives. Jesus knows our pressures. Jesus knows our responsibilities. Jesus knows the deadlines we have. Jesus knows that there are times we just can't stop what we're doing. He knows there's times we just can't stop. And because Jesus knows we can't just stop what we're doing, that's when Jesus brings the encounter to us. See, Jesus knows Simon can't come to him, so what does Jesus do? He goes to Simon. And Jesus gets done teaching the people, and then he tells Simon to put out into the deep water to go for a catch of fish. Now, this movement from shallow water into the deeper water is kind of a picture of what Jesus wants to do with us whenever we have an encounter with him. Jesus asks Simon to go back out and try to catch some fish. And I want you to notice, if you got your Bibles open, Simon kind of protests. He says, "Master, you know, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And in other words, it's almost like Simon is saying, "You know what? We've already been out there, dude, but nothing happened. But since it's you, it's Jesus, you know, we'll give it one more try. We'll drag ourselves back out there." And I emphasize this because whenever we have an encounter with Jesus, Jesus always puts us in a position where our faith is going to grow a little bit. And you see, Jesus is very good at growing our faith when we're in the midst of the mundane of life. Jesus is very good at growing our faith when we're in the midst of the mundane of life, the regular of life, the routine of life. Jesus can still grow our faith. And this is important to note, because how many times has Simon done what Jesus asks him to do? How many times has Simon and the other guys that he's fishing with, how many times in a typical work week are they on the shore putting stuff back together and says, "You know, we didn't get much. Do we want to go out and try again?" Do they make the decision to go back out and give it one more try? Well, it's part of the fishing business. It's a part of his life. And one of the things about the Luke account of this story is it seems that Simon really isn't all that enthusiastic about working. And I'm guessing that because they hadn't really caught anything, Simon's saying, "You know what? We'll come back tomorrow. Today I'm going to stop a little early. I'm going to go do what I want to do." And maybe Simon had plans to go play 18 holes or something. Or maybe Simon says, "I'm going to go home and I'm going to get some stuff done around the house because the fish aren't biting and I got other things I need to get done." But Jesus very gently pushes. Jesus gently pushed Simon. And you see, Jesus gently pushes us. And we get that push in the Jesus encounter. And sometimes the push comes with words. Maybe we read something or we hear something and we're just kind of doing our thing at work, or we're mowing the yard or whatever, and we read something or hear something and it gets us thinking about the faith. Or it gets us thinking about ourselves in some way that we just hadn't expected. Or maybe we're stewing on something about God that, you know what, I haven't really thought about this before. Or maybe we're wrestling with our own morality, or we're wrestling with our actions. We did something really good and we wonder the impact it's going to have. Or we've done something really stupid or bad and we're wondering about that. We're wrestling with what's right or wrong about something. Sometimes the gentle push comes with actions. We find ourselves engaging with someone in a way that maybe we hadn't expected. Or we're seeing something Christ-like in the whole thing, and it's like, you know, I didn't think I was going to see something Christ-like at this moment today. We're facing a challenge that we didn't see coming, and as we're dealing with the challenge, we're wrestling suddenly with some aspect of our faith. And this kind of stuff happens because as we have this Jesus encounter, the water starts to gradually get a little deeper. And please understand, the deeper water, it's not something we're afraid of. The deeper water is just a normal part of the day, but it's suddenly we're engaged with God in the normal. You know, it's like I was at the shore, I really wasn't thinking about certain things, but now things are getting a little deeper, and it's kind of got me thinking a little bit. It's got me stewing a little bit. It's got me wrestling. It's got me seeing God and seeing blessings that I really hadn't noticed before. And this kind of stuff happens in the midst of the routine day. When we have an encounter with Jesus, sometimes we might argue a little bit. We'll be like Simon Peter and say, Lord, I've already been there. We've already done that. I've already done the Bible today. I've already prayed today. I've already done this or that. But suddenly we get this curveball from God and something happens that we're not expecting and we're suddenly engaged with Jesus. And something else that we need to remember is that when we have an encounter with Jesus, we may not realize that it was Jesus until we're home for the day. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count all the times that I've had strangers just stop by my office. People looking for help, they're looking for something. And I might see them as somebody who's down on their luck or they're at some difficult place in life because of bad decisions they've made or something. But at the end of the day, after I've kind of processed things a little bit, I realize, you know what, I think I just had a Jesus encounter. I saw that person stopping by as maybe an unwanted distraction in the workday. And when I realized it was a Jesus encounter, I'm glad that I decided to go where Jesus wanted to take me. And I say this because sometimes we don't realize that we had a Jesus encounter until the day is over and until we've had some time to maybe reflect on the day. Now, when you have that Jesus encounter, what happens as the water gets deeper? Well, parts of it, it's going to be a little unfamiliar, but there's going to be some kind of a new experience. A lot of it's going to be very familiar, but there's going to be a new experience there. And you're going to have a faith experience that's probably going to be very unique to you for that day. And there's new experiences out there where it's a little deeper because that's where the fish are. There's new experiences because out where it's a little deeper, that's where the fish are. That when we have an encounter with Jesus, Jesus wants to take us from the familiar to a little bit of a deeper place. Everything is still kind of familiar, but something new, something different, something out of the ordinary is going to happen in what seems to be kind of an ordinary day. And the reason that something different is going to happen is because Jesus wants to give you more for your soul. And sometimes Jesus works on our souls in a place where growing your soul may not be on the agenda for that day. I want to compare what I'm talking about with all of this to falling asleep. How many people in here have trouble falling asleep? You know, you wake yourself up from the recliner, drag yourself into the bed, and then you wake up. I hate that part of life. And then when you finally fall asleep, you have to go to the bathroom and fun things like that. James Smith wrote a book called Imagining the Kingdom, and in one part of it, Smith compares how God works in our lives with how we fall asleep. I thought this was brilliant, and I quote, he says, I cannot choose to fall asleep. Can't do it. The best I can do is choose to put myself in a posture, in a rhythm that welcomes sleep. I lie down in bed on my left side with my knees drawn up. I close my eyes and breathe slowly, putting my plans out of my mind. But the power of my will or consciousness stops there. I want to go to sleep, and I've chosen to climb into bed, but in another sense, sleep is not something under my control. Sleep is not at my beck and call. I call up the visitation of sleep by imitating the breathing and the posture of a sleeper. There is a moment when sleep comes settling on this imitation of itself, which I've been offering to it, and I succeed in becoming what I was trying to be. Sleep is a gift to be received, not a decision to be made. And yet it is a gift that requires a posture of reception, a kind of active welcome." End quote. You see, encounters with Jesus means that we're going to grow in our faith, but the how of that growth, the way the growth in our faith happens, we can't control any of that. All we can do is be ready for when God shows up in that situation. And see, some days we're more ready than others, just like some nights it's easier to fall asleep than others. And as we're engrossed when we're at work, or when we're engrossed with something at school, or doing whatever it is we're doing, Jesus is going to show up. And he's going to open our eyes to him in ways that we just were not expecting. And these encounters grow our faith. Now, the third thing that happens with the Jesus encounter, number three, is that Jesus adjusts our focus. He adjusts our focus, 9 through 11. "For amazement had seized Simon and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men.' When they had brought in their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him." Jesus takes a normal work day and makes something amazing happen. And in the case of Peter and the other fishermen, they have this miraculous catch of fish, and this miracle opens their eyes to a new and really deeper understanding of Jesus, who Jesus is, and what a relationship with Jesus means for their existence. Now, most of the sermons that I've heard preached on this passage focuses on the miracle of the catch. Okay, and it focuses on how that miracle, it shows the power of Jesus in our everyday lives. That's a very important part of the story, but I wanted to examine this story from a slightly different angle. That's why I preached the way that I did today. But part of the reason that I wanted to look at the passage the way that I did is because whenever I read this story, one question that I might try to ask Jesus when I get to heaven, if I'm not blown away by everything, which I probably will be. But I've always wondered, why does Peter get two miracles in a row? Why does he get two miracles in a row? And I ask this question because the end of Luke 4 gives us the miracle of Peter's mother-in-law being healed. And at the beginning of Luke 5, Peter gets the miraculous catch of fish. And I'm wondering, why does he get two in a row? And there's some scholars that say, this experience with the miracles is it's just part of the training and the grooming process for Simon Peter, because we know that Simon, he's eventually going to get his name changed to Peter, and Simon Peter is going to be the rock on which Jesus builds his church, and Simon Peter needs motivation to follow Jesus, and these miracles are going to help provide some of that motivation. And Simon Peter has this workday encounter with Jesus to prepare him to be the leader of the church in 3 years. Well, who knows? Maybe that's why it happens. But when I read these verses, I see something important, and I see something, I think, simpler with all of this. How many people in here have routines every day? Okay, all of us have routines. Why do we have the routines we have? And not just routines, daily routines, but the routines that we have in life. You know, why do we go to college? Why do we have a job? Why do we punch the clock? Why do we do whatever it is we do Monday through Friday, and then do whatever it is we do on the weekends? We have routines. We have the routines we have because we're always concerned about physical things. And we're concerned about the physical, but Jesus is always concerned about spiritual things. We're concerned about the physical, kind of because we have to be, but Jesus is always concerned about spiritual things. See, we, even as Christians, we're concerned about our life, and we're concerned about all the parts of it. And that concern dominates our existence. That concern motivates us to get up and do whatever it is we do every day. That concern about our lives gives us the life routines that we have. And we're concerned about things. We're concerned about food to eat. But Jesus is concerned about food for the hungry soul. We're concerned about bills to pay. But Jesus is concerned about the eternal bill that we have to pay because of sin. We're concerned about clothes to wear. Jesus is concerned about the clothing of righteousness to cover our spiritual nakedness. We're concerned about retirement accounts. Jesus is concerned about people who will retire never having known him. We're concerned about our kids' college bills. Jesus is concerned about our college kids' spiritual life. We're concerned about fish, and Jesus is concerned about men. We're concerned about things. Jesus is concerned about people. Jesus is concerned about the life of those who don't yet know him. Now, all the stuff that we're concerned about in life, all of that stuff, that's all valid concerns. God doesn't look at that and say, no, 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 you shouldn't have those kind of concerns. Paying your bills, feeding yourself, it's a valid concern. And to be responsible, we need to be concerned about those things. But see, the problem is we don't want to forget the spiritual. And see, Jesus found a way to make sure we don't forget it. Because to make sure that we don't forget the spiritual, Jesus will always adjust our focus. This is where I get my sermon point from, and this is what I see going on with Simon Peter in this last section of verses. See, whenever Jesus has an encounter with us, he always adjusts our focus. And Jesus always adjusts it a little more to the spiritual. And Jesus loves to adjust us to the spiritual when we're full-on engaged in the busyness of life. Jesus takes the physical things that we're concerned about or we're focused on, and Jesus encounters us at work, or he encounters us at school, or we're just focused on something at home. We're going to paint something, clean something, sweep something, dust something, whatever it is. Jesus will take those things and he will adjust it into a lesson about spiritual things. That's what he loves to do. And as we wrestle with and reflect on the spiritual, we realize, gee whiz, we've had a Jesus encounter. And this is why we have those experiences where you're doing something. You know, you're mowing your yard, you're driving to work, you're on the clock just doing what you do at 1:30 in the afternoon every Monday through Friday, whatever it is. And you're just not even remotely thinking about the faith. You're at work and you're at home, you're just kind of doing your thing, and suddenly God or something godly pops into your head and you're suddenly focused on God. And somebody says something and suddenly you have this urge to pray. Or something happens and you suddenly feel like, man, I got to take a stand for what I believe is right. I've got to say something right now. Where did this come from? Or you're working on something and the next minute you're just fully engaged with some person or persons and you're finding that this engagement's coming at a spiritual level. And you're kind of surprised at how we got here. How is this suddenly happening? And see, Jesus loves to take our sense of stability, he loves to take our sense of routine, and he will adjust things just a bit so we can see things differently. Now, sometimes what we see can be extreme, like you'll have the miraculous catch of fish. But many times what happens with the adjustment is God just gives us a little reminder. We're reminded that God is out there. We are reminded that God is real. We're reminded that, you know what, God does amazing things anytime, any place. We get reminded that God loves us. Jesus adjusts our focus so we sense the reality of God a little bit more. Now today we've talked about having an encounter with Jesus just in the regular things of life. Jesus, as he always does, he takes the physical things which are our first focus, and he turns them into a matter of spiritual focus. God took fishermen who were at work, made them fishers of men. God will use our everyday routines, our everyday jobs, our everyday weekend activities. God will use all of that stuff to teach us faith lessons. I believe that Jesus has encounters planned with us every day of the week. Well, my question for us today is, how receptive are we to those encounters? And what focus does God want to adjust in our lives with those encounters? And we're going to close today with the Lord's Supper. And you're going to have a routine encounter with Jesus that you always have on the first Sunday of every month. But I want to challenge you as you partake of the elements, as you go back to your pew and sit down, or before you get dismissed to come up, I want to challenge you to pray and to ask Jesus to prep your senses for the Jesus encounters that are going to come up this week. Because I believe fully that Jesus is going to show up when we least suspect it, when we're bored with something or stuck in the routine of something or thinking about what we're going to do as the next step because it's what we do while we're on the job or whatever it is. Jesus is going to show up, and when he does, we want to be ready. We want to be ready to get that little adjustment that he wants to give to our lives.